Entry came like Bombo had. 16 years of boyhood crashing into Cochin's chest in a tight hug. The boy had grown taller, but not any thicker. Though he surprised Cochin with hidden strength as he lifted him off the ground. Then there was his father, who gave him a quiet, stoic smile through his lip, trembled with disbelief. He stood from his chair with the gait of an older gentleman as he made his way to Cochin, joining in the embrace. Meanwhile, from the table, Vincent nodded curtly, jaw set. When his family pulled away from him, Cochin realized he'd been tensing underneath their warmth, and he let his shoulders relax again. It had been a long time since he'd had known an embrace so tight, so complete. With his presence, his family was made whole again. Wasn't this what he'd wanted for so long? Yet, being here felt like a betrayal. Felt unearned. "Cochin, I can't believe you're back," Bentry said. For how tall he'd grown, he was still the same kid. All freckles and knobby joints, wild sable hair and toothy grin. His eyes were wide with elation, which was quick to sour to worry. "How long are you staying?" "I'm sure Cochin is much too busy to stay for long," said Vincent, Cochin's elder brother. "Quick, someone pull a chair before he's out the door again." "Vincent," his mother scolded. But as though she saw the merit behind his words, she drew a chair for Cochin at the table and gestured for him to sit. "Cochin, it's been so long. You must have so much to tell us." Santo, Kongmi, Nika. 3 years unwound themselves on his tongue, waiting to spill. Instead, Cochin took a seat at the table and said, "Not really. I suppose work got the better of me, and when I finally managed to catch my breath, 3 years had passed."
"It's okay," his father said,
at which Vincent scoffed.
"At least we knew you were alive."
"I'm glad to see you're all well," Cochin said, back straight and overly formal. After spending so much time in Dr. Santo's society, he'd almost forgotten how else to act. As a crutch, he returned to the language of favors, one he'd learned to speak in Central. "I left my job in Theumas. I was wondering if I could stay at home while I reorient myself. I'll cook, clean, and garden. I just need a place to stay."
"No need to ask, Cochin," his father said, taking a seat across from him. "Your bedroom is still here."
"I'll clear it out," Bentry said, then added sheepishly, "I was using it as a study." Cochin raised an eyebrow. "Were you now?" He'd never known Bentry to be a studier. That had always been his niche, following in his father's footsteps. His mother stooped behind Bentry, ruffling his tangled hair. "He's trying hard to get into a top university, just like his brother." "I'm taking the placement exam early, like you did," Bentry said, his tone cautiously eager, as though awaiting Cochin's approval. He supposed his path looked grand on paper. Small-town genius who'd attended and graduated from his university early to land a job with a research director. But Cochin wouldn't wish his life on anyone, much less his own brother. So instead, without much of an expression, he said, "I'm proud of you, Bentry."
"Cochin, the letter you sent weeks ago, after reading it, I didn't expect you to come back so soon," his mother said.
Cochin's heart fell. That was the letter he'd sent home with Nika. "My plans changed.
What about your friend, the other Heartsooth?"
A sudden anguish gripped his heart, too painful to breathe through. It felt almost wrong for his mother to mention Nika so offhandedly, but how could she know the extent of Cochin's grief? He let none of it show. As he said, "She's not with me anymore." For a moment, no one spoke, until Cochin said, "I left my things in my boat. I'll be back again after I grab them." Before they could protest, Cochin stood, and his family gave him his space. He strode toward the door,
pausing at the threshold of the kitchen to say, "Thank you for having me."